Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Thank you so much for joining myself, Sean Finnegan, and Fran Mirabella for this week's episode. Don't forget, you can check out all of IGN's shows. Where, Fran?
On iOS, Android, PS4, Xbox One, and everywhere that's awesome. So check it out, download them.
Didn't expect that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Did not.
We winged it.
So, exciting news, Sean. What are we going to be talking about today? That was a sentence.
We're going to be talking about a lot of things, Destin. Yeah. E3 is right around the corner, so we're going to be talking about what we hope to see revealed about Destiny and this Rise of Iron so-called expansion that's coming out later on this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Iron Banner and that quick hotfix that they made for the heavy ammo glitch that everyone was talking about, but I didn't get to see because I was out of town.
Yep.
And
wherever else this goes, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So let's hit it off right away about E3. I want to play the game at E3. Do you think that will happen?
We've been really good about this. Like, in prior years, we've been able to go hands-on with the stuff that they're showing there and play, like, a new mission and play, like, some PvP. Like, remember at, I think it was E3 last year, we all got to play Mayhem when they first were introducing that.
Yeah. Like, if we I was actually going to recommend, let's go over exactly what happened last year, because I've been in the industry a long time, and as it turns out, they don't change things up that often. Yeah. So, right at the PlayStation conference, it was revealed, the trailer
Destiny
for
revealed.
The new Destiny Taken King expansion,
content,
right?
Yeah.
That was the first time we really saw like what it was going to look like. Then we had a behind-closed-doors appointment that we were able to go and see a truncated version of
that one half a mission of the first mission.
It's the first half of the first mission.
Yeah, on Phobos.
Yeah.
So we saw that. We were able to do an interview. And so we did all that. But then meanwhile, at the PlayStation booth and then other places, they had
Rift.
Rift and Mayhem, right? We were able to go check out. They revealed a sector, whatever the sector map is. They revealed those two new maps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened last
year. There's a little bit of a distinction for people who don't go to E3 or don't really know how E3 works, but there's E3 is a closed event, although there is some
not
now
really
public,
anymore.
Well, there's some public facing aspects to it now more than there used to be.
E3 Live and EA Play.
But it's still a trade show, which means you got to be pressed to be in there. But even within the event itself, there's still these behind closed door demos where even if you're at E3, you may not necessarily be able to get in there. I don't exactly know.
Yeah, well, they're very limited, right?
Yeah.
So IGN gets an interview and an appointment because it's on a very short list of people who can reach a lot of audience. And so, yeah, that's why it does sound top secret, because, like, in a way it is. So you actually go to the Activision booth and they have a business section, like, upstairs, and you get ushered in, and it's very small, you know? And
yeah, like, even if you're at E3, it's not the type of thing you wait in line to go play.
No, you can't just show up, and that's what the BCD behind closed doors, as we call it, is. So that's actually where hopefully that will happen again. We'll get our appointment. We'll be able to hit them with some hard questions and see what we get. But, you know, I do expect the reveal to be at the PlayStation conference again, which is Monday night, like at 6 p.m.
So how confident are you that we're going to see, like,
that it's Rise of Iron?
Well, that we'll see a trailer.
Oh, absolutely.
With the leak, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think given the amount of content and just the way all the announcements stack up, like I still don't know if it's big enough, like Call of Duty, that normally gets a brief section in either the Xbox conference or in the PlayStation conference. They do like a quick demo, right? I don't think we're going to see that still with Destiny. I think it'll just be like a sweet trailer.
I'll bet you that we will see Destiny be a part of Sony's E3 stage show, and it won't be like a very small thing.
You know what? I think they're going to change it up. I think it's going to be on Microsoft stage, and Microsoft's going to get exclusive content.
Yeah, right.
Nope. I'm being very sarcastic. Yeah. That will never happen.
I think, we can go down that road another time, but there's a lot more PlayStation sold.
Like, even before PlayStation leapt out to a huge lead, Destiny had signed this, or Bungie had signed this, like, exclusivity.
Activision.
I'm just egging you Activision, on because, I know you play on Xbox.
It's a sales and marketing thing. So they have a partnership with Activision. Ubisoft does this all the time with Microsoft. And my point was it's actually very based on sales. You know, their bet was that PlayStation probably would be a bigger audience on Destiny. And I don't have the numbers, but I'm very confident it is where most of the console or most of the Destiny audience is at. So PlayStation is where it's going to show up. I don't think we'll see anything before that. I think they want to be a big part of the conference. So
that would be interesting to see, actually, just like how that audience actually breaks down. There's no doubt that there's a majority because there's way more PS4s out there just in general. But like of really? Overall Destiny's total fan base, I'll bet you it's more like 60-40.
You think? Yeah. Is that close?
Well, just because shooters just have such a rich legacy on Xbox. That's all.
Yeah, we can actually look into, there's the NPD numbers of actual units sold. Sometimes I think digital sales.
Yeah, it's misleading because no digital, right?
There's more counting of that. But anyway, we should look that up for a future thing, what the split is.
Beyond that, so they have a trailer. We saw Rift and Mayhem last year, a hands-on thing. Is there an Activision booth at E3 this year?
Oh, yeah.
There's always one. There is.
Well, there's been some changes because he was asking. Because EA is out on the outside now. Rockstar never shows up. Mm-hmm. But Activision's a mainstay.
Because this is a DLC pack, what does that mean for Bungie? Like, they're probably not going to have, the megasphere like they did when Destiny was revealed.
I think it'll be just like last year.
BCD hands-on thing?
So two things specifically had happened is that, again, in the PlayStation booth, it was a big piece, and you could go in, get in line, play multiplayer, because Destiny is huge, and they recognize that, especially at PlayStation. So you can get in line, play multiplayer, likely to happen again. But at the Activision booth, they also had, you could go play.
There were two different things.
They split up Mayhem and Rift, I believe is the way they did
And then the story thing was like for people who run Destiny shows, for example.
The BCD, the behind closed doors, is very limited. Honestly, with all the streaming coverage, IGN, et cetera, it's still super limited. We're fortunate enough that we've been doing this for 20 years. It's our 20th anniversary this year at IGN. So we get in there.
Happy birthday! Yeah.
Well, we reach 70 to 100 million people a month. So
a lot of people were talking about the rise of Iron League and whether or not it was legitimate. That poster looks really good. There's no way it's fake.
It's too detailed to be fake.
I've seen some good DeviantArt, but not that good.
We are at a point with Kotaku, who added to it with their sources. There has been some reliability there. So even though, you normally want to see multiple sources, and actually they've had that this time.
Yeah.
But now they have a history of having a source who's proven to
just leak everything.
Well, I don't know if that's the person who's leaking it, but the point is there's reliability. So
it's the bartender.
If you're Bungie, are you keeping your ear to the ground and a sharp eye out for the mole?
Imagine if somebody
on the inside who keeps leaking stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if somebody was leaking every project we had for the next year? We would be pretty mad, right?
Yeah.
Internally.
Well, right. You got to understand.
Bungie would be the same way.
Yeah. Put yourself in their shoes. They want to be able to tell you about it when the time's right and do it in a big way. Yeah. And leaks always, even though I believe all press is good press, even what seems bad.
Yeah.
People are talking about your game and it's because they're hyped, and they don't know. We couldn't do anything with the Rise of Iron info that's damaging. It brings up a lot of questions. I think that's what they don't like. It's wait a second, we want to tell you what it is, because now they're some people might be thinking it's just about Iron Banner, and it's no, that's not what it's about, and they want to do it in a controlled way. But so what I was going to get at, they do it because they just want to do it all at once and have that message. I lost my train of thought, obviously.
Yep. Today we have a crowd of about 100 people outside of our door,
all
taking tours of the IGN office. They're very excited. I'm very excited about E3 and seeing everything they have to offer. But you guys weren't here last week to talk Rise of Iron. Yeah. So let's kind of get into that a little bit. What's some of the stuff you guys hope to see in this content?
I mean, I've said this before on previous episodes, but like what Taken King did so well was really fleshing out the characters of the universe and telling stories around them and giving me missions that I wanted to play because I was interested in seeing what happened to my character and the characters around me. I would love to see them extend that to people like Saladin and other people in the sort of Crucible arena, PvP area, and give me something with cool missions and a cool story that ties into the universe and lets me know about what else is happening out there, or at least instead of maybe not it's where we're going, but at least where we came from. That would be very cool.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I always hop to, you know, how I want to see the gameplay and those things change. And but to focus on that for a second, yeah, that's a really great point. Like, we were all, I think, very happy with the increased dialogue from Cade and, you know, Harris.
More cutscenes and cool acting.
The cutscenes were really well handled. You know, the composition as well. The music started to change some. I think we were all a little nervous about that too, but it's all been, really good. And it feels like there's more story. I think that's been one of the biggest requests by far still is, like, when we even saw, like, the Taken King teaser with the queen, it was awesome, you know, like, walking through the snow and, like, but that was, like, it. Maybe there will be a little more
or
of
even
that.
Just how, like, that, just how the Taken King opening cinematic starts with this epic space battle outside the rings of Saturn and the queen, like, you know, sacrificing herself to, like, take one big shot and knock out, like, the, you know, the enemy ship, Oryx's ship. Like, that's so cool. That's such an awesome way to start it. Like, gives you a sense of, pun gravity, it gives you a sense of gravity for the story and, like, the situation that you're in going forward, and it gives you, like, a reason to want to complete these missions in a certain way. That's so cool. And, like, I mean, just as a huge Destiny fan and like a big lore person in general when it comes to properties that I like, I have so many ideas about where this could go or who these characters could be and how they can interact. If you need a narrative designer, Bungie, Deej, if you're listening.
He's in charge of the next Destiny movie.
Yeah.
He told me secretly.
Oh, is he?
A Destiny
director, filmmaker.
Okay, totally off topic. Would a Destiny movie work?
We talked about this.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't it? Like, Destiny would work. Halo would work. They'd all work.
Yeah, you just have to do it
anything
right.
Anything can work.
That's the thing.
But nothing has worked yet.
It's hard to do.
As a movie.
Well, that's just because video game movies don't have a great track record. Yeah.
You're saying there's been no good video game movies?
Not really.
One good video game movie.
Which one?
Super Mario Brothers?
The first
the 80s?
One. Oops. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, yeah.
The first Mortal Kombat
in the 90s.
For that demographic.
That's not the first video game movie, to be clear. Yeah. It's the first good one.
I agree with that.
Like, it was, and that's still like an 8.
Well, that's the thing. It's like Mortal Kombat, the first one, it's a mid-90s movie that was made for mid-90s kids in the mid-90s. It has this really tongue-in-cheek feel to it. It knows what it is, and that's why it's good. It's not... The problem with video game movies these days is they try and take what are serious properties and make them into serious movies, and that's just not it's not a one-to-one translation. So they always fall a little bit short, and they feel pretentious, or they feel like they don't understand the source material.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Johnny Cage saved that movie.
Yeah, like Need for Speed was like a straight-up action drama,
Fast and Furious kind of thing.
So how do they make Destiny good? The movie. Destiny the movie.
Oh, well, you got a lot of groundwork to lay there. I think you need more of a core story. Like, it's hard because Destiny of these space shooters is a little less linear.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's not as easy to... Like, you could point at Halo and be like, this 2 months... Or this, like, this part of the game, like this, like Halo 3 or like the Fall of Reach. These are event-based story elements that you could just make into a movie.
Yep.
There's nothing like that in Destiny yet because we don't really know what's been going on in the universe.
I think there's plenty of material, though. Like, it's a space epic. The Dreadnought itself. Like, that's where, like, usually movies are successful, where they focus on one thing. And
sure.
So.
But, okay, so, like, let's just take an example, right? The Taken King movie. How do you explain that movie...
To anybody else.
Anyone who is a Destiny fan. Like, just what the premise is. Okay, so we're these guardians. We get our power from this traveler, but that's not even in the movie. We're dealing with this dude.
Oh, you see the Cabal and the Hive. They were actually taken by Oryx, who's a big demon guy with wings.
And then
wings,
you're like, wait, who are the Cabal and Hive? Well, they're these other alien races.
Oh, they're aliens from Mars. Mars and the moon.
It gets complicated. Yeah.
There's
the
shadow, actually, of Oryx, and he looks like Oryx, but he's not Oryx.
Yeah.
Anyway,
also,
that's a challenging movie.
Yeah, and that's the Destiny, so far, the way the lore has been portrayed to us, the player, is very nonlinear and very exploratory, which means like it's difficult to point to a single event as something that you could adapt to a movie.
Yeah. I'll tell you what you do with that's the Destiny all. Movie.
Not that it can't be done. I'm just saying you'd have to come up with a
you
lot.
You start at the beginning. That's how you do it. You start at the beginning, you tell the story of the Traveler and like our first exploration to a different world.
See, I agree with you, but we don't know what the story of the Traveler is.
There's enough there that you can kind of, you know that we went to a different planet.
Sure.
And we ran into the Traveler, and that's the story you tell. And obviously you have the writers of Destiny help you scope that.
Yeah, and I totally get that. But like, to me, that movie begins with like a 2-minute long voiceover in the beginning. It was the Traveler.
That's how Destiny
the
began.
Traveler saved us from the collapse. What
that
is the collapse?
Is the beginning
well,
of Destiny.
Yeah. Like, no, that's cheesy. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like you don't want to start a movie like that because it's dumb. Mm-hmm. I think if you start a movie with a voiceover to contextualize, that's cheating. Like it's
you don't start with VO.
You're
people
saving time.
On a planet is super interesting.
Sean Haas hates all the beginnings of the Star Wars movies. Just for the record,
those don't start with VO.
Well, okay, but it's reading. It's even worse.
It's execution.
You have to read.
It opened. Oh, it's so dramatic! The opening.
I was just kidding.
You could also tell parallel storylines. You could tell explain
parallel storylines.
Yeah, parallel storytelling.
Parallel.
So like you, you explain like the Traveler and what happened there, and at the same time you jump forward
this
in time.
This movie sucks.
And it's
I would
like
never
greenlight
it so far.
Hey,
we're brainstorming here, Fran.
Okay,
so it's gonna be kind of like
after E3.
Event Horizon.
I will present to you the first act of the Destiny the Destiny movie as written and directed by Sean Finnegan.
That sounds good.
And
I
will write. On air. We'll all voice the characters. This will
that
be awesome.
I like.
Yeah. And I will write the Destiny TV show about three roommates stuck in the tower who aren't quite Guardians yet, but they want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's like a situational comedy.
We should do cinema that.
Yeah.
I love it. We can move on, but I was going to say, I think the collapse and finding that first Guardian is a great place to start. And maybe there's some that actually, maybe before you get too deep into it, you need to start there. And like, it's a lot like, I think, honestly, Disney would be great to handle, I think, a movie like this because they've been able to figure this type of thing out. With
they've
ridiculous,
been okay with a few.
But comparatively, right?
You know,
that's the thing. Most things.
You're totally right about this.
We're all worried about comic movies and they've got a good formula.
Yeah.
You know?
Now that you were just you just mentioned that, for some reason you struck me like I was thinking about who is the main character, right? And you said the first Guardian, right? Like that's totally a great pick. I would also think of maybe Praedith, right? That story. Like his fight against the Vex specifically.
Ignore
the Cabal, the Fallen. It's just like your confrontation or his confrontation
with one of the,
or his team's confrontation with the Vex and discovering the Vault of Glass.
And then Atheon is basically Ultron, and there we figured it out.
Nailed it.
Do all that.
So that's our pitch for the Destiny movie. What would you guys want to see?
Yeah.
Also going on in Destiny right now, Iron Banner. There were some problems, so they delayed
it a
little bit.
Yeah,
it was a day late. They got on that bug really quick. There was a heavy ammo bug where you could just have infinite heavy ammo, and they fixed it. And there was another one where you could get unlimited supers, which they also fixed.
Which I didn't know about until the bug fixed. There was like unlimited heavy ammo bug.
They were
and
probably like,
unlimited super bug. Yeah, apparently that was not heavily exploited. But yeah, they shut down trials.
I see what you do there, not heavily exploited.
I didn't mean to do that, but that's good. They shut down trials for last weekend, so feels bad, man. That was rough on me.
Like, yeah, that was when I was
your favorite thing,
trials.
Right?
Yeah, it's not my. It's my favorite thing right now because it's the only thing that I really like get into because it's so like fiercely competitive, and thankfully I have people who will just carry me to the tower. Thanks, Clickit and Michael, if you're listening. And
I need to be carried. Toxic. I need to be carried.
Yeah, we need to bring Destin out.
Yeah.
But
Having
I still
since
like
week one or two.
Like I'm still in that zone of, you know, I've talked about it with Sean. I wasn't like a huge PvP player. I was in Halo 2, but still casually at the IGN office, but I got into it there, but never since, and this game has really got me, like, I mean, I'm looking at all the perks and getting into it, and I know some people don't like PvP, and I never thought I'd be that person, but because I like the world of Destiny so much and the gun feel and et cetera and earning all my gear, I'm like now addicted to playing multiplayer. So
yeah.
Banner's
awesome.
Out. You know, I'm hopping at home at night, still playing Banner when I want to play Overwatch.
Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe some Banner.
Let's talk about that a little bit. So I was playing Overwatch a lot this week, and then I hopped back to Destiny. I was like, man, Destiny
so
is
different.
Slow in comparison to Overwatch playing on PC.
The feel of Overwatch is slow. Mm-hmm. When things start happening, it happens quickly. Yeah. But like, I feel like everybody's like,
if you get teams of six playing against each other in Overwatch, it's so highly tactical and like fine tuned.
Yeah,
it's so.
Like, I just mean the feel of playing on a PC, playing Overwatch on a PC versus Destiny
like the
on a console. Yeah, well, all of that I noticed immediately.
Its movement, its abilities, like,
and
it's
Destiny's
all sorts of stuff.
Destiny's designed to be played in a different way than a PC shooter. Obviously, I mean, totally obviously,
it's a console shooter.
But it was just really interesting to kind of think about their design philosophies. Like, we look at Halo 5, which you play a lot. You look at a game like Overwatch, which everybody's loving right now. And then you look at Destiny, and they're all really, really good shooters.
And they're all very different, which is, I think, great. Like, that's why, as much as when I say Halo 5 is faster than Destiny by, like exponentially, that's not a slight to Destiny. I like
Destiny's is a different style.
Yeah, I like the slow-paced feel of Destiny because it makes you play it differently. It's just a different type of gameplay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was funny when I jumped into Overwatch. Actually, at first, that's what I was getting at. Like, the limited ability to, like, run and sprint depending on your character.
Yeah.
The tank characters, I was
like, I want to float.
It just feels like you're anchored down, and like, even like, I don't know, shooting at characters, like the feeling of impact is so different, and it really is just getting used to it. I'm really liking Overwatch, and actually strategically it seems pretty amazing in all the different combinations of characters and things you can do with each other. But Destiny, there's just still, that's what is always, you know, that we call it the Bungie magic.
Yeah.
There's something about the feel, you know, and
the feel and the movement.
And that's why, you know, like, I hate to say it, like, there's something about Halo in the hands of 343 that just, it's not, that spark.
Oh my goodness.
Halo. Well, isn't quite there.
343.
You're guilty, Fran.
<It's good. laughs> But, there's just something that's not quite there. I'm not knocking Halo, by the way. I was just saying there's something in Destiny that makes us keep coming back. That's a slickness, a polish. And when I played multiplayer, I liked that they were very different, but it also just really still made me appreciate that a game that's now years old still feels like really good. That feel of PvP in Destiny, even not being 60, we talked about that conversation, the frame rate, you know, people knock it, but it still feels great.
And that's if you're one of those haters out there who's like, people still play this game, people still play this game, and that's why, because it's so fun. Like, the gameplay is so good, right? Yep.
They really nailed that perfect just feel at 30 frames per second.
Yeah,
and totally.
It's really interesting that I can appreciate Overwatch and appreciate what Destiny is doing at the same time and still have insanely intense moments with Overwatch in multiplayer and with Destiny in multiplayer, even though it runs at 30.
Yep.
You know, so I'm just commending them, really.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff to play right now, which is nice. So
yeah.
Especially in that shooter arena.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, what about Banner? Like, I mean, any quick commentary?
It's nice to go back to Control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I thought about this a lot over the last week or the last couple of days playing Banner about why I like Control a lot better for Banner than Clash.
Yeah.
Not that you can make an outlandish statement like just Control is better than Clash, but the reason I like it is because for team play, it's deeper strategy, right? There's that added level of strategy where instead of just killing each other, which you do in Clash, which is fun, I like killing people, instead of just that, there's this secondary objective, which is like, no, do that, but also do it controlling these points because you can be more efficient. I find that anytime I spawn, the first thing, if I, you know, first I'm aware of how many points my team is holding at that point or at any point in the match.
Which point are they running to? I'm going to run to a different one.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a crew, I always say, everybody just capture that first point because we will be in the lead.
Yeah. Or so, like, that's the thing is, like, if I die and I'm playing with my team, my first thing is like, what point are we trying to capture if we're trying to capture a point?
Yeah.
Do you need me to go snag a different point or should I come support you because you're going to cap it, right?
Yeah. Like either one or two go, or everybody just captures that point.
There's that moment where you're like, do we commit to trying to capture this point, or do we forget it and send all of our new spawning people to a different point and snag it while they're defending a different point, right? And that's not even discussing, like, what if you don't need the point, right? Like, there's just this secondary level of strategy that makes Control a lot more fun to play in a team setting.
Yeah. I've been in groups of six and I'm like, it's a really close game, and I'm like, everybody just get on C right now. I'm capturing
everybody
it. Mathematically, we win if we do this.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, and we win.
Yeah. Strategically, it's better, but it's just more directed, to your point, right? Immediately, as soon as the game starts, you have something to do, somewhere to go. Clash, you just don't have that. You're like, I don't know, go look for someone. You know where they're spawning.
Yeah, and Clash allows for a little bit more random.
Yeah.
I was going to call it randomosity.
Yeah.
Randomness.
But the maps are also designed where you're going to hit choke points.
Yeah, but it's if you're in a team setting and it's like you and your buddy are pushing the flank on this left side of the map, you're expecting your people in the middle to be able to spot people who are trying to flank you.
Yeah.
But they don't, because they're also pushing, which means like you get people spawning behind you and also people just running around the outside of the ring of the map just flanking people nonstop. So a lot of the times you find yourself just being like, someone shouldn't be flanking me and shooting me in the back right now, but here they are, like, in my face with a shotgun. It's just like, you know, in a map where you had directed objectives, that wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Next time it's Clash, frustrating. And I'm in a group of six, I'm going to find a safe spot to just, I'm like, all
hunker
right,
down.
All
yeah.
six, let's just sit in this door
That's
and
exactly,
let them come
yeah.
in. They walk through the door, everybody nukes them.
Yeah, totally.
And that is
it
a strategy.
It would be the slowest game ever played.
You know what, though? I've played games, though, where like we don't have full teams, and when the other team's full, and they're just strategically waiting where the people are entering. Yeah. Like I've had that happen on Dreadnought levels. For
it's like everybody
name.
Chill,
I don't
cover
know if
these
it's like
two
a
doors.
Or,
yeah.
But because but you actually you try to push them and they're just mowing you down because they're so organized.
Yeah.
It actually is a good strategy.
Yeah. Well,
or you know the people walk in a wall basically.
Yeah,
and they just
totally
keep mowing people down.
You stick,
team shots.
You stick with your team. I mean, just by virtue of being a multiplayer game, like there are points of the map that are like
more lit up.
Yeah, like there's choke points, there's places that you can, you know, hold effectively with your team, and if you have good communication, you could just sit there the whole time.
Yeah.
And kill anyone who approaches you.
So
and win the game.
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's why people like Rift as well, I think, because it's directed gameplay.
Yeah.
But I like I'm playing with
Clash. I don't like Rift.
I
like
Rift.
I know
too,
you
man.
Most people
some
don't
people
like Rift.
It's like football,
I know
man.
Like
I love it.
Yeah.
It's super
it's capture the flag, sort of.
I did that poll a while back.
Very close. You can't
There's
throw
one flag.
It, so yeah.
I remember I did that poll a while back. It was like 15-20% of the people that voted liked it. So don't, you know, that's a significant number. But yeah,
80% no. 20%
well, no, that was
yes?
I split up Clash, Control, and Rift, I believe. And
oh, okay.
There was like even a don't care or something.
I'm saying a lot of people don't like Rift. That's all I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't say everybody doesn't like Rift, and if you do, you're wrong.
It was just implying that there was the minority was too small to care about. But people,
no,
people
friends like of Rift. Friends of mine who play Destiny like Rift. I don't like it.
But back to Banner real fast. So this week, right, is Fusion Rifles, Ash Raven's Flight.
That's the one. The sidearm.
And the sidearm is Iron Reef D, right?
Yeah.
I'll get it just to collect
I have
it.
Both
I
of those already.
So get absolutely, like, go for a roll on, because fusions are back, as we talk about a lot. Go for a roll on the Ash Ravens, but if you don't, buy the one that's there. It's got Hidden Hand and Hot Swap, I think, but it comes with Brace Frame, and that's just, like, regardless, it's going to be it's a really great fusion rifle on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Again, sort of how it ranks is Thesen is the slower charge rate, but hits like a truck. Ash Ravens is actually just a little bit after that, but the rate of fire is a little higher.
Where's that Future War Cult one rank? Because that one's pretty high up there,
That's more like Thesen. Yeah, it's like more like a
How does Plan C stack up against those?
Plan C's like, it's a lot more like, I'd say, Ash Ravens, but higher rate of fire, but it's just it is awesome. I mean, Plan C is the best.
That's the only fusion that I use.
Well,
it's an exotic,
use Plan C, but that you want Ash Ravens because like it gives you that option
to
use,
totally buy it.
You know, Mida plus a fusion or whatever you want to do. Or keep Truth equipped, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's really good. Iron Wraith actually is a good sidearm. I mean, pick it up, but hopefully you get a good roll.
And it's chest and arms.
I've said this before, but it's just like, why sidearms? I still don't get it.
Sidearms still pretty deadly in
rate
the right maps. And
rate of fire, mid-range.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just can't ever imagine a time when I would rather have a sidearm as opposed to a shotgun, a sniper, or a fusion.
But you got to be good. There's some people who like Shade Step sidearm and they're like amazing with it and stuff like that. It's totally.
There are loadouts for it,
but it's because Shade Step's OP.
That's true.
That's true.
It has nothing to do with
the
sidearm.
You can't say anything's OP. You're gonna get people mad at you like shoulder charge.
I don't care.
That's it for this week, I think, guys. Is there anything else we want to cover off on?
Nah, I think we got a lot still to hope. Hopefully there's more leaks before E3, but otherwise we got a few weeks still to go.
I should have hit this at the beginning of the show, but hit up youtube.com/fireteamchat and subscribe and check out all of our videos there. That's where you find Fireteam Chat in video form these days. Anything else you guys want to plug before we go?
Nah, the usuals. Find me at Fran Mirabella.
Yeah.
I stream a lot on Twitch at FM3_.
Yeah.
Can't have three characters.
Finnegan.
Follow me on Twitter at @ShotByFinnegan.
All
That's
right.
It.
Until next time, Guardians out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.